number 064337, Mary Forrest against Universal Savings Bank. Mr. O'Reilly.
Hey, please, the court. Good morning, Your Honors. Good morning, counsel. We're here on a case involving the Fair Credit Reporting Act. The court granted Universal Savings Bank's motion to dismiss. The sole claim in the complaint was that the defendants accessed the credit report of Mary Forrest. They did so without having a permissible purpose, without having her authorization. And essentially what it comes down to is whether or not the mailer that they sent her was a firm offer of credit.
Mr. O'Reilly, I have one preliminary question. It looked to me that when this case began, it was alleged as on behalf of a class.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to the class allegations?
Well, Your Honor, the court turned its attention to this question before it ever got there. This case was decided on a motion to dismiss. Motions to dismiss obviously occur before there's discovery. We never had the opportunity for discovery. It was done on simply the complaint that was there. So there was no motion for class certification filed, nor could we. We didn't have any ability to obtain information at that point on numerosity, typicality, commonality. Obviously, the plaintiff's deposition had not been taken. So it was a situation in which it simply wasn't right. The case was dismissed before that, and that's pretty typical that if it fails to state a claim, then you never reach the issue of class certification.
Right, even though, as you know, Rule 23 requires that the court must, at an early practicable time, determine by order whether to certify. Now, as it is, with no certification, this is obviously something that concludes only your client.
Yeah, of course, that's true, that there would be no res judicata preclusive effect on the other class members who obviously have not received any notice. That's certainly true. But I really think that what we're talking about here is a very fundamental question of the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and one that applies to literally millions of mailers that are sent out. I want to briefly touch on the ruling that Judge Goodstein issued in terms of his position that a consumer could reasonably infer a $5,000 credit line based on the mailer.
But, you know, here's what I want to – this is also in your appendix, but it's on page number SA21 of the supplemental appendix that Universal filed. No one likes reading this fine print, but if you get down there toward the bottom of the page, it says, to establish an account and be eligible for an upfront reward, you must transfer qualifying balances of at least $5,000. And I think that's the language that really grabbed the district court. Most of the other times the $5,000 amount is mentioned, it's in the same breath as the computer, but it really isn't here. It says to establish an account. And it's hard for me, I know you gave a stab at it in your reply brief, but it's hard for me to see how that doesn't set a floor subject to the verification that you would agree is permissible under the statute of $5,000, and there's a potential ceiling of $15,000.
Well, Your Honor, I'd first point out that several points in this, they explicitly say that there's a $15,000 maximum line of credit. They also,
but it could be a $5,000 minimum.
Well, it could be, but they also say that the credit line will be determined upon the review.
Right.
But when I read that sole phrase, I see it as one is where in order to get the computer, you have to establish the account. But I don't see it as a disjunctive where
it says and to establish an account and be eligible. Nowhere in this does it say to establish an account, just let us decide whether we're going
to
give you 500, 1,000, 2,000, some
number. But here's the thing. The qualification, the and, to establish the account, that's the critical language. What they're saying is, in order to get this computer offer, the offer which was not guaranteed, the offer in which they said, act now before someone else beats you to it, you have to establish an account and transfer $5,000. However, there's nothing in there that says that you have to transfer $5,000 in order to establish an account. For example, let's say they ran out of computers. Well, in that situation, perhaps you wouldn't want to transfer the $5,000. Is that not a guaranteed offer? If that's the case, then the fact that the computer offer wasn't guaranteed takes it out of the firm offer of credit issue. It does not. There's no place in here in which you can find language which says you must transfer $5,000 in order to establish an account.
Well, unless the sentence I just read is properly construed that way, because it does say to establish an account and be eligible for the reward.
Right. You must transfer it. But if you, for example, let's say you didn't have $2,500 in balances to transfer, which was
then
the minimum
amount.
Then I
think they're saying you don't, you know, you're not the person we're getting in this offer. And I would say, just because time is short, the other thing that our cases have emphasized recently especially is whether the offer is something that extends something of value to the consumer. And this one actually looks better than some of the offers we've seen of late. This is an offer of a credit line.
Well, Your
Honor, just a Visa card.
Well, it's certainly a Visa card. Perry was a Visa card. But again, I think what's important to note here is that if you decide that you're not going to make a reasonable inference against the non-moving party, and I think that the court drew a reasonable inference against us in violation of the provision of the motion to dismiss, but if, in fact, you're talking about an offer which does not have a minimum line of credit, then I think at that point you're squarely within the territory of Cole. Now, in Cole, the court specifically noted that an offer of $1, which was guaranteed, is unacceptable. Noted it at 389 F3rd at 726. The defendants argued that the FCRA does not require a minimum amount. And this court rejected that provision. They said, well, no, a pre-approval for any amount, even as low as $1, would not be acceptable. Now,
well,
it
that's
seems
where the value to the consumer point comes in.
Well,
a dollar wouldn't be very valuable to a consumer to have a credit card to tote around.
Right. Here, we don't know what that value is. And Murray versus GMAC closed off this loophole. Murray versus GMAC explicitly held. You look at the four corners of the offer. You don't engage in some sort of post-hoc exploration of what the credit card company might have offered or the credit card company might not have offered. What you look at is the four corners of the offer.
Well, some people think it's valuable to be able to owe $5,000, I guess.
There's no question. If this court concludes that, in fact, Universal Savings Bank offered $5,000 minimum line of credit, that reasonable inference was proper in the context of a motion to dismiss, there's no question that that's a valuable offer. My position is that an offer which does not have a minimum line of credit is worse than an offer for $1, and this court's already held that an offer of credit for $1 is not a firm offer of credit. There's no way that you could take that leap and say that an offer without a minimum line of credit is valuable without overruling a major portion of both Cole and Murray. And you simply open up the credit reports for people to give vague offers. It defeats the entire purpose of the firm offer of credit. If you have a situation in which creditors can give vague offers, you can't comparison shop, you can't use it as leverage against your negotiation, and what's the value? I mean, if the value is that you have to apply to find out what the real offer is, well, then it's no different than an advertisement or a solicitation. You've got to apply, you've got to have your references checked, you've got to have a full credit report pulled, which, of course, counts as an inquiry against you on your credit report. It's no different than a solicitation. It doesn't give any value to the consumer. It simply opens up a gigantic loophole. That's a loophole that Cole closed and that Murray further clarified was constrained to the four corners of the offer. There's no way that you could reach that conclusion. Now, if you want to say that the court was correct in saying that there was a $5,000 minimum line of credit, well, that takes it out of that. And frankly, that argument has been made in the briefs, and we could discuss it all day. But in terms of whether there's a minimum line of credit, I think that's squarely foreclosed by Cole and by Murray. I'll save the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Reilly. We'll hear now from Ms. Collado.
May it please the Court. Good morning. My name is Victoria Collado. I represent Universal Savings Bank. The district court's opinion should be affirmed because the letter sent to Ms. Forrest was a firm offer of credit within the meaning of the Fair Credit Reporting Act and this court's decisions in Cole, Murray, and Perry. The plaintiff claims that it wasn't a firm offer of credit because there was no minimum amount of credit disclosed. But the district court correctly held that there was a $5,000 minimum disclosed. Two, that nothing in the Fair Credit Reporting Act requires a lender to disclose a minimum amount of credit in a firm offer of credit. And three, if we undertake this value analysis to determine whether or not this was a bona fide firm offer of credit or whether it was a sham, an excuse to access credit reports to sell something other than credit, that inquiry confirms that this offer had value as an offer of credit standing alone and was a firm offer of credit.
So Ms. Collado, in this part that you have focused on so much that I just read, it strikes me that apart from the distaste most people have for reading all this fine print, there are potentially ambiguities here, because you don't come to the sentence that you've focused on until you see boldface upfront rewards and balance transfer information. This is not under a label of how to establish an account or what's the minimum credit line for an account. Under upfront rewards and balance transfer information, you get this sentence: to establish an account and be eligible for an upfront award, you must transfer, and so on and so forth. And at least as far as I could tell, every other time that $5,000 number is mentioned, it's as part of a set of instructions about how to get the computer. And I can't actually imagine why anybody would want to carry $3,500 for 18 months at 10.99% interest for a $600 computer. But anyway, if this were ambiguous, then wouldn't we at least be forced to decide whether there was anything of value for the consumer?
I think the answer to the question is how you began it, was if it were ambiguous.
I mean, it strikes me as you could say, where does the consumer just look at this and say, is there a minimum amount that I have to be eligible for? Is there a maximum amount I can hope to get?
Okay. There's three answers to that, Your Honor. The offer contains a Schumer box,
right,
which is required by the Truth in Lending Act, not by Fair Credit Reporting Act. And those are the terms that the Federal Reserve Board has determined that consumers want to look at when they're comparing credit terms. The Schumer box doesn't have to say minimum amount of credit, so okay, it's not there. Generally, consumers want to know what's the maximum amount of credit that I could get in there. So that's emphasized, well, up to $15,000. The fact of, under the summary of credit terms regarding the account, there it is. To open an account, you have to transfer qualifying balances of $5,000. If you don't have $5,000, you can transfer $2,500 and up to $2,500 in cash advances to get up to $5,000.
Right. And my only point is, that's not under the label that you just gave it. That's under the label upfront rewards and balance transfer. It's not mm-hmm. under the label how to establish an account.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then the other point, Your Honor, is that the Fair Credit Reporting Act doesn't require disclosure of a minimum. You can assume that, say there's no mention of the $5,000 minimum. What is the inquiry here? The Fair Credit Reporting Act requires you to disclose that credit information was accessed in providing the report. If you don't want your credit report accessed, you can call this 800 number. The only term that's required by the Fair Credit Reporting Act is a collateral requirement. This is an unsecured offer of credit. This is a credit card. There's no collateral requirement. There's no collateral requirement disclosed. Now, if we want to get to the value analysis, that's triggered by an allegation that we had an improper purpose in accessing, that we were offering something other than credit, that we were making a sham offer to access credit information to sell a product. That was the issue in Cole. Mm-hmm. In the absence of an allegation that we had improperly accessed this to sell anything other than credit, as pointed out in Murray and again in Perry, the value analysis, you know, we're not going to go anywhere with it. And then also, if we look at Perry and compare the terms that this court found constituted a firm offer in Perry, if there was a firm offer in Perry, there's clearly a firm offer here. We had a 10.99 rate. We had the APR was disclosed. All of the TILA disclosures are there. It was not tied to a specific product, as in Cole, you had to buy a car with it. It wasn't tied to a specific vendor, like in Cole, you had to go to this specific dealership to get a product, not the credit.
In a sense, you had to pay $500 for this card if you didn't want to carry all that debt. You have to start out. You can't open up the account unless you get $5,000 in debt. And if you're somebody who doesn't like debt, you can open up the card, get the $5,000 in debt, pay it off the next month, plus an extra $500 for the penalty for not carrying the $3,500 for 18 months, and then you're liberated. Right? That's actually how this works.
I think. Well, and you have a computer to boot.
If available. Maybe you have a computer, maybe you don't.
That was another point. The if available was, it's a Dell thing. They offered a Dell Dimension 3000. Dell could tomorrow say, oh, we've got a great new computer. It's the Dell 4000, and they've tweaked one thing, or they've just switched this dock from here to up here. It's a different configuration. Our offer specifies that you will get at least comparable terms. Or you'll get an upgrade of the computer. So the act now, that's one point with respect to that.
So why would you want to act now if you might get a better computer in the future?
So we can give you this offer of credit. The second point is the plaintiff doesn't complain that she filled out an application and didn't get an offer. And, in fact, we've never had a complaint that someone who submitted an application and was approved didn't get a computer.
Would I, as far as getting access to credit reports in the first place, obviously you're not getting the whole report because you don't have consent. What is available to get this first search that makes this person apparently someone who's generally keeps above $5,000 in debt and pays the minimum each month? I assume that's what you look for.
It's defined in the statute, Your Honor, the limited information that a creditor can get in order to make a firm offer of credit. You can certainly get the FICO score, the credit score. You can't get a specific relationship with a specific creditor. So if I'm marketing upscale shoes, I can't get a list of everybody who has an account at Saks Fifth Avenue. But I can get a list of people that have a credit score of blah, 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 and balances on their credit cards of blah, blah, blah. That can be part of the pre-screening criteria to approve a consumer to get this pre-screened offer.
And by getting that, do you have to pay for that?
Does the creditor have to pay for those reports?
You have to pay somebody for some whatever that's worth. And then if you decide that person's not a prospect, it doesn't matter. There's no... You haven't done anything wrong by not giving them credit.
That is, you will only get the names and addresses of the people that meet your criteria.
Yeah, and if you don't send them a letter, an offer,
Actually, you have to send them an offer under the statute.
Once you get that,
yes,
once you get that criteria?
You can't get that information unless you're going to send a firm offer of credit.
I see. Okay.
And if the court has no further questions, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Collado. How much time does Mr. O'Reilly have? Sir, you have a minute left.
Well, let me first say I'm a little surprised. It seems to me that Universal Savings Bank has it exactly backwards. Murray versus GMAC did not involve a sale of a product. It was a mortgage loan. They weren't selling homes. They were financing. It was just a straight credit transaction. In this one, there actually is a product. But I don't think that that's material. I think the real question when you get to the value analysis is in fact, are we preserving the balance? Now, they talked about the statute and how the statute doesn't require a minimum line of credit. And certainly, if you read through it, you wouldn't find it. However, the definition of a firm offer of credit is any offer that will be honored. That is a circular definition. The Seventh Circuit said in order to give vitality to that, we can't allow just any nominal offer for even $1 to satisfy the statute. That's why the offer has to have value. The court also rejected the other extreme position, which was to import the state statutes regarding offer and acceptance, or the state common law regarding offer and acceptance. They found the middle ground and said that there had to be value. In this case, we haven't had any discovery. We don't know how they pre-screened, what the pre-screening requirements were, and none of that is before the court at this stage. We don't know what they did to get the credit reports, what their pre-screening criteria, or if someone would have been given the loan. And finally, with respect to the computer, the record in this case is that they repeated several times, it's so simple to get that you want to act now while this limited quantity lasts. They repeated that over and over and over again, and they say that that is what justifies that the offer of the computer is what justifies the $5,000 minimum, but even that was not guaranteed. And I think it's a clear case here that the offer was not guaranteed, and without a minimum line of credit, there was no appreciable value. You could not use this for comparison shopping. It would not have any value to the consumer. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. O'Reilly. Our thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.